We will exercise building their vaccine model for a virus epidemic, the one that includes both infected and non-infected pieces. The description, the full description, you find in Fronter. That is a document that you can download, 9 pages, that take you step by step to build the model and simulate it and do an experiment with that. Konstantin is going to show you how to do that, and you can ask questions. I am also here sitting in the back and will come in if needed, or if Konstantin wants me to explain something or add some other additional explanation. So welcome, Konstantin. That's your 15 minutes of glory.
Hello, everyone. Okay, so today we are going to create a very simple model about virus epidemics. This model is also called susceptible infected model. It has some further developments, for example, SIR model, that stands for susceptible infected and recovered. So you all have this step-by-step modeling guide, how to do that. I will just go through all the steps. Now you see the blank screen of the VNC model environment. So what we do now, we just start with new model. And in this window, you see the settings for the new model. What's important here? First of all, we should define final time. We are interested in 14. And the other thing you should always pay attention to is time step. Here we leave it 1, but sometimes you need the other time steps. You see, they can be less than 1. And the main issue is that the smaller your time step, the more smooth your curves become. So in case you make a simulation and you get not smooth curves, perhaps you should decrease your time step. Okay. Okay. Also, we will change the time unit for hours, because months is too big. We assume that in 40 hours we will get most of the pieces infected. Okay, so first of all, we just start with graphically drawing the model, and we begin with drawing the level variables. In this model, we have 2 levels. If you need, you can also resize them so that they look properly. Also, you can move them around. Now, as we have 2 levels, we need to create some connection between them, and as you already know, we need to put a rate between them. Our rate is called virus infection. And it goes from left to right because at the start of simulation we have most of the pieces uninfected, and over the time the quantity of uninfected pieces decreases and the more pieces become infected. Okay. Then we just proceed with creating other variables that we need. First of all, this is variable called infection probability. This is the constant variable, so it has dependence on virus infection. You can do it the way I did, drawing the arrow to virus infection, or to look it better, you can point it here so that your model becomes a little bit less crowded with arrows. Also, other constant that we have, of course, we have total number of pieces. And we have a constant called fractional contact rate. Now we have two variables that are non-constant, meaning that there are some equations standing behind that variables. Yes? Not necessary. Yes, yes. I will show you further how do you distinguish constants and non-constants. It's just about that in equation field, you where it's constant, you put just number, and where it's equation, you put an equation. Important point to mention is that we are putting all these variables now, including constants, to make our model as more readable as possible. We could have incorporated all the calculations just inside this, inside virus infection and inside the levels, but for the other reader it would be impossible to understand. That's why we need as much auxiliary variables as we can draw. I also advise you to draw the arrows between variables before you enter the equations, because afterwards when you will be entering the equations you will already see the dependencies between variables. If you do vice versa, you will have to manually select dependencies. Okay, so now we have our model, and now we can begin with assigning some values to the variables. According to the best practice, we first begin with the constant variables. In order to assign values to variables, we need to click on this tool. You see over here, fx, also called equations. And now you see they are all highlighted with black. Black means that this variable has not been assigned an equation, or that the equation behind this variable is incomplete yet. Perhaps there is some problem with units, etc. Okay, so we begin with constant fractional contact rate. And first of all, we pick up the unit. We can write here 1 divided by hour. This constant in our model means how many times per hour does one PC generate contact with other PCs. Contacts in our model, we do not dive into details, but it can be some kind of email exchange or file transfer, whatever. So to start with, we set up the value 2 here. Because it's constant, we do not need to write the complete equation. And in the field below, we can write a comment. And then we click OK, and you see the variable becomes white, meaning that Vensim thinks that everything is okay with this variable. Then we proceed to other constant that's called infection probability, and we set up initial value 0.2. Also we set up the units. Yes, the units for this variable, because its probability is just a number, so it's dimensionless. That's why you can either enter 1 here, or you can choose dimensionless. The effect would be the same in both cases. And you of course know that probability is measured between 0 and 1. That's why 0.2 means that in 20% of all cases that PCs had contacts between each other, the infection happened. Okay, and the last constant that we have in this model is, of course, total number of PCs. Tonya, can you advise me dimension for this constant? Yes, perfect. By some reason, Vensim doesn't like special characters inside the units field, so I would just write it without apostrophe like this. Okay, and then now we are done with the constants, and we can proceed to defining dependable variables. So we normally start with defining level variables. If you click on the level variable, the window for level variable looks a little bit different from auxiliary variable, because for the level you have two very important fields. The first field is initial value, meaning that what is the value of this level before the start of simulation. And the other field is equation. How does this level change over time? And also, please look at this window in the right bottom, because we have already made some dependencies. Here you can see a suggested list of variables that we should use during defining equation or initial value. So what I'm going to do now, okay, the guide suggests me to write to start with infected pieces, and initial value is 1, because in case it would be 0, there would no infection occur. So we just define 1, and equation is equation is just the value of the level that goes inside infected pieces. And also we can write a short comment at the bottom. Then we click OK, and again it becomes white colored. Now we go to uninfected pieces, and the initial value for okay, you see I forgot to draw one more arrow from here to here, and now if I go to uninfected pieces, I have dependence between total number of pieces. So what I want to do, I want to set up initial value for uninfected like total number minus infected. Okay, again I forgot to draw one more arrow. Yes, and we leave equation for uninfected pieces like this. Yes, I say that we leave it like this. Okay, we don't have a comment for this variable, I guess, but you can just write why you selected such initial value for this level. No. You mean here or here? Yes. You need to use them. You remember the way I did that? I just double-clicked here, and it was inserted. That's why. Okay, we can try to make it without comment marks, but I'm not sure that it will work. No, you see. Yes, like that. Okay, so now we are done with defining the units, and we can proceed to define independent variables. We start with the variable called context between pieces, and this variable basically means how many contacts do infected pieces make in 1 hour. That's why we can anyone suggest me the unit for this variable? I can repeat again, how many contacts do make infected pieces in 1 hour? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, so equation will be like this. So we have a current number of infected pieces, and we have a contact rate. So by multiplying them, we understand how many contacts with infected pieces do we have over 1 hour. Yes, and Professor Jose was right. And if you click check units, it will define it automatically. Yeah, unfortunately, I have not known that before. Okay, so here in comments field, you can write the way I explained that that's the number of contacts in 1 hour. Okay, now we go to this variable, and it's very simple variable, meaning what is the portion of uninfected PC as out of total portion of PCs. That's why we make it like a division, like that. And also, because it's portion, it's natural that units are dimensionless. You have any questions? Can I proceed? Tony, this is proportion. That's why it's dimensionless. Okay, and the last variable that we have left is rate variable between uninfected pieces and infected pieces. The way we define it now is just by multiplying proportion that we have, probability, and contact rate. And we assume that will give us, because it's a rate, first of all, the dimension would be pieces per hour, and that will give us the number of how many pieces get infected in 1 hour. Okay, just tell me when you are ready. We will try to simulate the model. Also, interesting thing is here in the settings window, you remember I put some arrows, for example, from total number of pieces to uninfected pieces, and you do not see that arrow anymore. So if you go to settings and to this tab called sketch, and you can check this option, show initial causes, then they will appear in gray color. Okay, so first of all, we checked model by this option in Vensim, and then we can also check units. And we see that we entered all the units correctly. This is a very important option, because if you have a very complicated model, you might have forgotten to put some units or have put them incorrectly. But what Vensim does basically during this instruction, it goes to all variables and compare the units that we introduced to the causal relations that we have with these variables. Okay, so now we can try to simulate our model. First of all, for simulation we need to give name in this field. For this simulation we will call it as base simulation. And then in order to simulate we need to click on this green triangle. And now the model was simulated. For example, if you wanna see some behavior of variables, suppose you wanna see the dynamics of uninfected pieces and infected pieces, you can select them with this tool. Also, if you press shift button, you can select one more or few more variables. And now, if I select on the left hand side graph, I can see the behavior over time of the selected variables. I do not get really your question. Like this? Yes. You can just drag it. The only problem with this graph is that now if I do some changes to the model, it will not stay anymore. So what we are going to do next, we will learn how to create graphs through the so-called input-output objects that will stay for a longer time in the model. So what I mean, now you see I clicked and the graph disappeared. Yes, but interesting thing that I can pick up any variable I like and always see its behavior over time like that. Any questions? Okay, so now we start with creating input-output objects. So in order to create, you should select this. And click somewhere. And then you have this window to create input-output object. So if you go to the modeling guide, our goal was to create two graphs. One is for behavior of the level infected PC, and the other for behavior of the rate virus infection. And we also want to have on these two graphs two different simulations. One is base simulation, highlighted with blue color, And the other one is so-called virus spread. The other simulation we will get in few minutes by changing the value of fractional contact rate. So that we won't, as you see from the graph, the second simulation will make it faster, the infection process of pieces. Okay, so coming back here, what do we do? We select output, and also we put the variable name. Yes, we can do like that. And also here we select the type of the object that we want to have. We want to have graph. And now this is the graph for infected pieces. And we want to have second graph. It would be for virus infection rate. So we select virus infection, and also here we select graph again. Yes, and now we have two graphs. Our goal now would be to customize them, for them to have two simulations at the same time. Yes, so this is okay. Apologize. This is actually the same graph that you've seen a few minutes before when I just clicked on infected pieces, and this is the graph for virus infection. You see that they have just one simulation because we made that under the name base simulation. Now if we want to have the second simulation like here in modeling guide, we should rename our simulation, and also we want to make some changes to the model. What I will be doing in next 5 minutes, I will just customize these graphs for them to show us two simulations at the same time. So my result should look like this.
I will try. I am not sure if it's going to work, but maybe there is a simpler way of doing this, and that is the following. We have the base file before. Now we click on simulate, virus spread, and as you can see here, we have two simulations, two files. They are upon each other because the parameters are exactly the same. In order to change, there is here something called a synthesine, the next one, which allows you to do experiments. So if you click on that, here you have simulate, you have here synthesim. Let's click on that. And now you see that we get sliders up in here that allow us to change things. So suppose I increase the infection probability by dragging the slider here. And then you see a new simulation. The virus spread is the blue one. Because I have the infection probability 0.4, this is going much, much faster. And similarly, the number of virus infections per unit of time in the blue, it tops much earlier and decays much earlier as if we had a lower infection probability. That's what you wanted to show. Constantine wanted to do is using a different approach, which is also possible. And maybe it's the one that is explained here in the document that you can download. But now I wanted to accelerate the process a little bit because Constantine had already chosen the first approach without actually knowing that. Because when you create the input-output models, you have two choices. Let me go back to that. Let's stop here, stop the simulation. To create an input-output object like this one, when you click on that and click here, you can either use the output workbench tool, which is the one that Constantine chose, and that's since he chose that one, click on that one, then he produced these objects here. But if he had selected the other alternative this here, the output custom graph, here you have to first to create an output, a custom graph. And you do that using the control panel and so on and so on. And for the details, I can refer to documentation. But you had already chosen the workbench here. You had already chosen the output workbench tool to create the objects. So that's why it was simpler to proceed as I suggested. And that is making sure that you have two simulation files, the base that you created first, the virus spread that you simulate later, and then you compare the simulation using not simulate, but synthesim, this one. And when you do that, you get automatically sliders here, and you can change anything that you like. For instance, I changed the infection probability. Let's change the fractional contact rate. It was 2, let's make it 3, or something like this, and you see how it changes. And you can actually change then both by moving the slider or also by clicking here. Then you are able to put some value here. Now it's 2.25. Let's put 3, enter, and it changes like this. By some reason, there is a bug in Venzim here, which is related to numerical accuracy. Probably the computation, the time step is too big. And in the computation, this reaches a value higher than 1,000, and that's why this is scaled automatically. Let's check that if it happens by putting in the model settings, time bounds, a time step that is small. You have still one here, which is inaccurate. Let's put its low value. Let's simulate. So you get the previous scale. And now you can see that the scale is correct. So what happened is as Venzim did computation, there was a value slightly bigger than 1,000 because of numerical inaccuracies. And that's why it adapted the scale, which was wrong. So that shows again how important it is here in the settings to have an accurate value of the time step, one that is visually accurate. Okay? You can take over. Basically, it's finished now, but you can ask questions, and then Constantine will help you answer questions.
Yes. Yes. Well, again, for reasons of better clarity, you should put polarity of the arrows everywhere when you can have that, and also put the loops. Yes, so thank you for the comment. I will do that now. Jose, do you want me to comment on polarities? I can, I just wonder.
The question as to whether to add the polarities to the model is, it is not necessary so that the model can simulate. But I like to do that in the beginning so that you see the connection, the causal loop diagrams. Later, when we have more advanced models, then it's a little bit too much detail put in that. But it is a decision that you can make. Putting the polarities is serves the communication when you are explaining the model. And that's why perhaps now it's convenient to have them. But we can also, over time, in the stock and flow models, skip doing that. So it's up to you. If you want to explain some details and the polarities are important, then you add them. If you don't need these details, then you don't need them, because you don't add them. Because as I said, for the purpose of simulating and so on, the polarities don't influence the behavior of the model. They are just an explanation that helps understand the model.
And as always, we just pick up some catchy names for our loops. Okay, so now our model is basically done. Some questions?
No? So, thank you very much, Konstantin, for explaining this. As we have told you, this is very detailed described in the frontier. That's a document, and just to refer to that, if you go, this is this link, modeling a virus epidemic with Vensim, this PDF, and the model you find here. So if you download this zip file, you get, I think, as I remember it, two models. The first model that we built this morning with only the reinforcing loop, and the complete model now. What is very important is that you all students, should take this document and then build a model as described in the document, and then you learn a lot about creating models with Vensim and simulating with them and also experimenting with them. As you could see, it's very nice that you can compare different simulations where you put different values. So later in practice, if you're working as a modeler, you can experiment with a model and see what is the results if you make some changes or if you make some actions, if you try to influence the behavior and so on. There are some more exercises that I recommend you to do, like exercises to create simple